Morning, I'll reconvene the hearing. Just before we get to you, Mr. Ritchie, I have a couple of questions for Ms. Law that I should have asked you yesterday, but I'll ask you now. Sorry, is it all working?
Yep, yeah, it should be.
Are you having difficulty hearing me?
Only just, but that's all right.
Move my microphone, how's that?
That's fine.
Sorry. Just before I get to you, Mr. Ritchie, I have a couple of questions for Ms. Law, and then we'll get to you. So, Ms. Law, just in terms of the consent processing for protected trees, does the council have any policy on the administrative charges of that consent processing?
So far as I'm aware, no. Previously, protected trees was under historic heritage, and there was the historic heritage trust or something similar. No, it wasn't the trust. There is a fund where residents could apply previously for funds for trimming or the costs of removal. I'm not sure if that still applies now that protected trees and historic heritage are...
But was that to do with the physical removal or the actual obtaining the consent to do that?
That was, so far as I'm aware, to do with the actual cost of the work, not
yes.
to do with the consent.
Right. The other question is, does the council have any policy on providing arborist advice to landowners that have protected trees on their property?
So far as I'm aware, council does not provide this service. There's a list of arborists that council have approved in terms of their experience and knowledge of the district and the trees available on the website, but I would have to get back to you on whether council actually provides that service free of charge.
So they don't, all they do is advise who that they consider to be approved, is that what you're saying?
That's what I think is the process, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So I'll clarify that. Now, Mr. Ritchie, we can turn to your submission.
Is that working right?
Yes.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is George Ritchie, a trustee of the owners of the property 99 Lakeside Road, Wanaka, which was purchased by our family in 1995. Gardening is a hobby of both my wife and I, and we've developed gardens on properties in Masterton, Taihape, Wellington, Christchurch and Wanaka during the course of a working career in the stock and station industry. Background to the notified tree 603. It's located on the lawn in 99 Lakeside Road, a high density residential area. Notified tree 603, part 5, chapter 32, map 21 of the district plan. Wellington with a height of 34 metres. I've got an aerial photograph of it here. Proximity of the tree is 16 metres from the corner of the house, 99 Lakeside Road, 7 metres from 101 Lakeside Road, and the canopy overhangs that roof, and 12 metres from Lakeside Road opposite the marina entrance. Thrash annually approximately 20 fadges of cones, needles, and branches are collected, including lodgements in the gutters. Thrash falls occurs all the year round. My submission hasn't changed. It's concerning health and safety. Liability for damage to property or harm to individual persons from falling parts of the tree, whether cones or branches, in particular those travelling on Lakeside Road. QLDC, without discussion with the owners, applied the protection order to notified tree 603, I think in 2001, and therefore it is our contention that QLDC should incur the liability for damage to property or persons should the tree or parts thereof fall. Should the protection order be removed, it would follow that the owners of the property would assume that liability. We would respectfully ask the chairman or any of the commissioners hearing the submission to visit the property before making a decision. Thank you for hearing my submission.
Thank you. As to the last point, I can assure you we will. We haven't visited it yet, but after the hearings, we will be holding our deliberations in Wanaka and we will visit the tree then.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner McLeod, do you have any questions?
So just to make sure I've understood correctly, the tree basically is even closer to your neighbour's house than it is to your own.
It sits right over the top of the neighbour's house.
Okay. What's the address of your neighbour's house, sorry?
101.
And it also over, well, it's very close to the road, is that right?
And it's within 12 metres of Lakeside Road, which has no footpath on the western side, on the eastern side. And there is quite a lot of traffic from the backpackers that walk along the inside of that road.
Are you aware that was any assessment be made of the actual condition of the tree by an arborist in terms of...
Yes, we are. We have had a report from the arborist which indicates that the tree health is good.
Yeah, okay.
But the question the arborist or the council has not answered is where liability falls.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richard. Can we keep that aerial photo or would you like it back?
No, I think that's council availability.
Okay.
Okay. But you can keep it and I'll get it back from you.
Okay.
From the review course.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Now, Ms. Laws, you were going to provide a copy of the consent for the adjacent or the nearby tree. In that side, right? You want to ask any questions about that consent? It's pretty straightforward, actually.
Seems to be, yeah.
Mm. Okay. Mr. Farrell, we're happy to hear you with me, if you like.
Thank you, Commissioners, Chair. I'm here this morning to show face and present interests of Watertight Investments. I'm not sure how familiar you are or not with Glenarm Cottage, but it's a protected cottage and now within land from 1950.
Yes, so we've ignored it.
And that's precisely why there's no evidence. And just to clarify that, bit of background, at the time there was discussion of the notification period, my client was advised by council it might be a good idea to get a submission on district plan. Since then it's obviously been withdrawn, and I'm really here just to seek that confirmation that Glenelg Cottage is not up for debate.
No.
And that if it was, we would have put in, or my client would have put in effort.
Yeah. I think technically the part of this watertight submission that referred to the cottage was probably technically withdrawn when it was withdrawn out of the plan.
I'm really delving into the minor details here in committee. But I just wanted to clarify, because in the 6.2 report there is, I don't have any advice or guidance anyway, I'm going to leave it to you, but just saying, is the submission to be rejected or is it simply out of scope?
It just doesn't exist.
Correct.
I can also advise, I don't know if you've seen Ms. Gillie's evidence that she's prepared.
Yes.
That part of her evidence is out of scope.
Yes, another reason why I'm here, yeah.
Yes, so I can clarify that for you.
Thank you very much, that is what I was hoping to hear. Also point out that on the 6.2 report, it hasn't been withdrawn on the amended version.
Well, there are, the same submission includes provisions regarding plan provisions in chapter 26. That watertight investments sought.
Yeah. No, sorry, I mean it's not shown as striped out.
Yes, I'm not surprised, but
yeah,
that there are other problems in the plan, as you know.
It does beg the question of my client, without wanting to confuse things, or what is, my client is unsure what are the operative provisions moving forward that will apply.
My understanding is that the area in PC 50 would have to be brought in to the proposed plan by way of a stage two, notification of stage two of the district plan, of the proposed plan, and until that point that has no status under the proposed plan. Merely affected by change 50, which is operative now, isn't it?
I understand.
So that's the operative set of provisions that apply to that area, is the operative plan.
Yeah. That was always.
I'm sure that your client can be reassured that we won't be spending any time at all on Glenelg Cottage, except to point out that it should not be included in the schedule.
Until 11:10.
So the next person, so I'll adjourn until 11:10.